Please stand for our gospel reading from John chapter 18. Pilate went back into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom is not of this world." Excuse me. "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate said to him. After he said this, he went out again to the Jews and told them, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But you have a custom that I release one prisoner to you at the Passover. So do you want me to release the king of the Jews for you?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a rebel. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're continuing our series tonight on the witnesses of Christ with the person of Barabbas. There is not much more about that we know about Barabbas than what you heard tonight. The crowd asked Pilate to release Barabbas instead of Jesus. Barabbas is called a robber. We tend to use the word robber and thief interchangeably somewhat, but there is a difference. A robber uses violence to take away your stuff, whereas a thief just uses stealth. And so a robber is a more hardened individual. The only other thing that we know about Barabbas is that he was involved in a revolt and that he had committed murder during that revolt. The word for robber in Greek can also be used to describe that kind of person, a revolutionary, and that's why the translation you heard tonight called Barabbas a rebel. He was probably part of a group of Jews who resented the foreign occupation of the Romans. They wanted to be free, to have their own Jewish state, like they used to have under David and Solomon. This brings up something that is in the background of the New Testament that we don't often talk about, but is nevertheless important. It is important in Jesus' trial before Pontius Pilate, and that is that the Jews really hated the Romans. They had some good reasons to hate the Romans. The Romans were the big bullies of the ancient world. They acted as though they owned the planet. The Romans thought that they and their culture were superior to everyone else's. They would set up places to worship the Roman state and the Roman gods all over the place. They even tried to do this with the temple in Jerusalem, that the Jupiter should be worshipped there. A couple Sundays ago, you heard how Pilate had killed some Jewish worshipers in the very act of their worship. Unless you were on the Roman government's payroll, if you were a Jew, you probably didn't have any time for the Romans. With all of this dissatisfaction in the air, it isn't surprising that there would be movements afoot to throw off the hated Roman yoke. And there were. This is an important force at work in the time of Jesus. It's even important for how some people saw Jesus and the hopes that they attached to Jesus. Maybe he can help us throw off this Roman yoke. Some placed earthly hopes in Jesus. It was earthly hopes that made people interested in Jesus. The only thing that worries Pontius Pilate about Jesus is that he's supposedly some kind of king. He doesn't like the sound of that. Jesus being king might mean a threat to their power. In fact, Jesus being king is what is written over Jesus' cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. There was a lot of interest in revolution among these people, and Barabbas was a revolutionary. He was a true believer in the Jewish state. He believes in it so much that he's happy to be violent and hard about it. He had taken life in his quest for a free Jewish state. Ultimately, this Jewish thirst for throwing off the Roman yoke and becoming independent is going to be the means by which God brings down his heavy hand upon these Jews who rejected the Christ. About 20 to 30 years after Jesus was crucified, died, raised, and ascended into heaven, the political agitators among the Jews finally got a powerful enough movement together. They were able to push the Romans out and take over the territory. However, it didn't take long for the Romans to come back, and when they did, their vengeance was horrible. They absolutely destroyed the place. Not one stone was left upon another. The slaughter and misery was unprecedented. The temple was destroyed by these Romans in 70 AD, like Jesus had said it would. It has never been rebuilt to this day. The Jewish hatred of the Romans would have dramatic repercussions. So during Pilate's examination of Jesus, he is especially interested in understanding what kind of man he's dealing with. Pilate is the Roman official. He's the Roman governor. So what is this Jew, Jesus, all about? Is he a political threat? Is he one of the insurrectionists? Our reading tonight has this exchange between Pilate and Jesus. Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" A very important question to him. Jesus responded, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not have been handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. Jesus answered, "I am, as you say, a king. For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate responds, "What is truth?" You can tell that Pilate was not impressed by Jesus. Pilate also knew, though, that Jesus was not guilty of what he was accused of. He goes out to the Jews and tells them, "There's no basis for the charge you've made against him." But the implication, as far as Pilate is concerned, is that although Jesus is not guilty, he's crazy. Jesus, to Pilate, is a nobody. He doesn't even have the Jewish officials in his corner. His disciples are nobodies, a bunch of poor fishermen. He comes from the Styx in Galilee. He imagines that he can command an army of angels if he should so wish it. If there was one thing that was certain to Pontius Pilate, it was that Jesus was no king. He was no king, no matter what else he might say. And so he has lots of fun at Jesus' expense in this regard. He dresses him up kind of like a king, but with a crown of thorns and a scepter that's made out of a reed. He has the title written on Jesus' cross, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The soldiers at the cross make fun of Jesus, saying stuff probably like, "Hey, how's it going up there, King? How's that throne feel?" They think that Jesus' kingdom is nothing other than a figment of Jesus' own imagination. That's not true, though. The shortest creed or statement of faith for us Christians is that Jesus is the Christ. Another way of saying that is Jesus is the King. The very heart of our faith is that Jesus is the King. However, it is very easy for us as well to act as though Jesus' kingdom is imaginary, so far as we are concerned. Other things in life can seem to be vastly more important. Politics, economics, progress, these are taken to be the things that are hard and fast, truly important subjects. What does Jesus' kingdom have to do with such things? Seemingly nothing. And so maybe we shouldn't be so hard on these people who didn't see any value in Jesus but saw more value in Barabbas. Maybe we would do the same thing. Think about it. If you're interested in earthly things, if you're interested in the welfare of your nation, if you're interested in independence and freedom, if you want to take a chunk out of those evil Romans, which of these two, Jesus or Barabbas, would appear to be more effective, spiritually speaking, or superficially speaking, and not spiritually speaking? Barabbas was a Jewish patriot of sorts. He shed blood in defense of his country. Jesus appears to be nothing other than a distraction. He's getting people to think about other things besides, for example, the Jewish independence movement. He's pointed out that the leaders of the Jews are hypocrites. He's not making the nation stronger, it seems. He's making it weaker. And these are things that could be said about Christ and to his Christians up to this very day. And there's an element of truth to it, actually. As Christians, it's very important for you to understand that you already have a king. You already have a God. There are many high and noble things that might want you to follow them with your whole heart, but you've already given your heart to another. Christ is king of an eternal kingdom that is not of this world. You are members of that kingdom. Jesus reigns and rules in the hearts of his people by his Holy Spirit from the right hand of God the Father. This kingdom takes precedence over everything else. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you as well." People have these other concerns, earthly concerns, and that's understandable. We're concerned about the government and about society and about our family and about jobs and what have you. We do not do well, however, when we make these things our gods. They were never meant to be gods. They are created things that are here today and gone tomorrow, even though they are very important. The most important thing to us, however, is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The most important thing to us is the cross upon which that title was placed. God the Father sent his Son on a mission, which culminated in this cross. It is at the cross that the battle was fought by our King, that we were won for his kingdom. We think politics, economics, and so on are the big important things. That's only because we're so nearsighted that we're practically blind. We're only thinking of the things that are in the here and now. The bigger and more important things are the eternal things. Our relationship with God, whether we are holy or unholy, whether we know the truth, or whether we sneeringly say with Pilate, "What is truth?" Jesus truly is king. He came, he conquered, he reigns and rules in the hearts of his people from the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Of all the things that our king does, though, he is at his most glorious when he is suffering in our place at the cross. God suffered for his creatures. God suffered for you. Let the world have their Barabbases. You put your trust in the King whose kingdom is not of this world. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing the canticle.